Welcome to Loud Obnoxious with your host, Kip Wilson, and Phyllis Gray. How are you, Philly?
Phyllis. It's Filsh, but we can go by Philionaire or Philly G or whatever else. But I'm doing well. A little beat from the long weekend, but...
Happy Memorial Day week recovery. Yeah. This Tuesday snuck up on us a little bit.
Yeah, we were like, oh shit, we gotta record today.
I know, and so our segments may be a little bit different. We will bring back our new fun one, the career change. I'm gonna propose some ideas to Phil, see what he would do, you know, just kind of alter the world universe a little bit. But we'll also break down some NBA and NHL help playoffs, I guess. Obviously, the list is no Moss. I'm pretty sure if there's any athlete in the world that could have broken the list, it's the one that did it. So we may rip that thing up and start anew starting today.
Yeah.
So it's a new chapter. LeBron is, in fact, the author of the book, and we're just forward.
Can't say I'm that pissed about it, though. I recall last week talking about how when the Celtics were up 2-0, how the odds on the Cavs winning the series were like, I forget, 3-1, something like that.
Yeah, they were high.
And I was so pissed that I didn't touch it then. Well, then when they were up 3-2, I mean, the Celtics were up 3-2, the odds were plus 160. And I obviously asked you to take some action, but
the number was a little steep.
You couldn't reach my limit, my number. But I found somebody to take some action, not quite the number I wanted, but I won big.
There you go. Well, you bet against the list, and the list paid off, and that paid off. So that's
it was a happiness hedge of sorts, and it was maybe a stronger effort to make the list, you know, happen. So maybe that's why it didn't happen.
It was kind of in the hopes of the anchor to rear its head. Well, it's unfortunate. Maybe that's just a sign that we have to scratch all the names off the list. It did its deed. It knocked off like 7 of the 8.
I mean, it's still succeeding at a high clip. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, after seeing the playoff or seeing that run that he just did, I mean, I think people have made a joke that he was playing with like the dishwasher and a fucking kitchen sink where like his teammates, he had nobody out there, especially in game 6 and 7 without Kevin Love. Yeah. He had Jeff fucking Green. Like, are you serious? Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, if the Cavs pull this off,
I don't think there's any way that they pull that off.
I think you got to call LeBron the greatest of all time.
And I'll go ahead and say it. After watching what he's been able to do, 8 straight conference finals, he's got 3 rings, and obviously he's been running into these dream teams of sorts as opponents. I mean, most of them are naturally created, though, unlike his and somewhat of the hired gun in Kevin Durant. But at the same time, there's no way they're going to knock him off. I mean, his team is... That's not even a team.
The Warriors aren't the Warriors of the past 3 years. I mean, they were in trouble the last, you know, 2 games without Chris Paul. I mean, their third quarter explosion.
I don't think they were trying, though. It seemed like they weren't even trying in the first half. They're like letting those guys get tired out. Like, let them just kind of run. It's like how parents let kids run, and they're like, all right, now it's time for your nap. I'm going to put you to bed. So they put them to bed very quickly in the third quarter. They came out explosive.
I can't buy into that strategy when you're facing elimination. You can't just be like, oh, yeah, we'll go down 15, and, you know, hopefully we'll come back in the third and fourth quarter. Like, no, you can't go into an elimination game thinking that. Now, you know, yeah, maybe they...
I don't think it's that they just give them the 15-point lead. I think Kerr says, save your energy. It's Harden. It's a one-man show. Clint Capella can go 8 from 9 from down low, but he's going to miss every fucking free throw you make him if you put him on the line. So give him his 16 points, and then Harden has to beat you. And Harden's not able to do that with how putrid he is from the three-point line. And the whole team, I mean, you have to have everyone step up to beat the Warriors. And Ariza goes blank.
Yeah.
0 for 14.
I mean, the whole team was 0 for.
I mean, well, yeah, P.J. Tucker had a couple points here and there, and he's a nobody.
No, for 3. Or maybe they made one early.
They started early. They started hot.
20-something threes. They went
27 0 for, in a row, but at one point they were 6 of 14, and then they went 1 of, like, 29 to close.
Well, I'm not so sure if the Warriors would have won the series if Chris Paul had played.
I agree. That would have been a totally different game, and I don't think that plan would have worked out to be that plan if Chris Paul had been playing in game 6 and 7. But at the same time, I mean, Houston gave him a run for their money with Chris Paul, so maybe they'll return next year and then add a little piece, maybe Kawhi or something cool, and you got yourself a nice little three-headed dragon that can compete with Golden
State.
Couldn't
LeBron theoretically go to the Rockets?
I think he can go anywhere, but he would be a fool to go to the West, but I still think he goes to L.A.
Yeah.
I said it before.
And saying about him going to the West, that's why, like, okay, 8 consecutive finals appearances is... It's nothing short of a miracle. But the fact that it's the Eastern fucking Conference, like, who has he had to play?
Well, I mean, I guess he used to have to play against Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, but that was the last time he actually lost an Eastern Conference final. Since then, I mean, he went and partnered with everybody. So you can't be mad at the Eastern Conference Finals for not competing when he goes and, like, made a super team. Like, he took the best player from Toronto, and he went and teamed up with the guy that was his best friend in Miami, and all of them were in their peak, you know, roughly the same time.
Okay, but yeah, even with the Cavs, where he hasn't had a great supporting cast, whatever. Well, now he had Kyrie Irving. But, like, this year... Okay, the Celtics looked great, but come on. No Kyrie Irving, all these rookies.
I didn't expect them to get...
All these no-names that I'd never heard before. The Rozier, have you ever heard of him before?
I didn't. I mean, I knew who Terry Rozier was just from, like, the Barstool guys talking about, because I think they're friends of the programs of theirs. But I didn't know him on a basketball level, but we don't watch a lot of basketball, so we're not going to sit here and be critical of him. But, yeah, you got to get a third piece, and LeBron can go anywhere, and they're an instant contender.
He'll probably stay in the East and go to the Sixers, because that would be, you know, his biggest guarantee to get back to the finals.
God, that's such a weak move.
I would like to see LeBron go to a team in the West that has, you know, one other piece. Not, you know, any of these, you know, go to the Lakers. Go to the Lakers and see if you can team up with, you know, those young, you know, not super talented, but talented guys. And then if you make the finals, I will give you all the credit in the world. He's That's too fair. Much of a pussy to go to the West.
I mean, it's a lot more difficult path. And I don't think...
Okay, so what?
I mean, if you don't have to, why would you go through it?
Because, like, you want to be the best. You want to prove
you're still going to have to play them, and you're going to play them oftentimes through the season. Like, I would just say stay in the East. If you're trying to win championships, you might as well take the direct route to the championship, which it seems to be. He could stay in Cleveland and fucking do it and just go trade that 6th pick and Kevin Love for, like, a Kawhi, and then you got yourself a little bit of a base to build around. San Antonio can rebuild after Tony Parker. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm stealing other people's ideas from the internet.
Whatever.
Who gives a shit?
That's what most everybody does.
Yeah, but I mean, that's basketball, but I don't expect this series to go very long, D.
I don't know. I mean, the fact that the Warriors have home court really, really helps them. I don't know. I think, I don't know what the exact odds
are. How many games?
On the Cavs, I'd say it goes 6.
So you think they win at Cleveland? See, I think it may go 5 and they win on their trip home. So I think they win the first 2 and then they give up 1 and they give up 1 game in Cleveland, win 1 game in Cleveland, and then try to win it in Golden State or in whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Anything's possible with LeBron. Dude can he can literally pull off miracles, so... I'd like to put a little...
Did you just call LeBron Jesus?
Fuck no.
Performing miracles?
Well, Jesus didn't perform miracles.
Yes, he did.
The Bible says he did. a fictional book says he did.
It's not fictional, but we're not going to get into that. You're wrong. what's it called? But we can. I digress. Let's talk about a playoffs that was fun. While the Game 7 going on last night... was going on. There was also Game 1 of the Stanley Cup. And I don't know for those that saw it, but Vegas is fucking awesome. Not only at hockey, but, like, at everything. Like, how they do, like, their pregame. It looks really fun. Like, it looks like a whole spectacle that was great outside of hockey as well.
I mean, I don't know how much we'd have to pay for a ticket to the game, but, I mean, we could basically fly to Vegas for free.
It literally is like $49.
I would really fucking love to go to one of those.
I think
games.
Tickets are fairly expensive. I mean, obviously now for the Stanley Cup, but if we mean next season, like, you know, maybe take this show on the road for like a fall week, you know, early in the season, I think it would be a lot of fun as well. It seems to be always road trafficked teams, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they don't have like a true fan base, so it's not like it's fucking season tickets like the Saints or something. You know, like it's not, it can't be that difficult to get them.
No, expensive. Yeah. Our buddy Brez lives in Vegas, and his family has tickets to the games. And he says, I mean, like everyone there is just, you know, I like hockey now. I mean, I guess that's kind of the attitude.
This is something fun to do, and we're inside. It's not scorching fucking hot. Yeah. But that's a great point.
He's like, where were y'all at the beginning of the season?
They were good then. That's when Pierce was.
I know,
was
but
out,
nobody, right? I don't think the excitement level was quite there, you know.
It picked up, obviously, as the season went along, but I think you could say the same for most professional teams that have a surprisingly successful year, except for the Colorado Rockies, who continue to have $7 tickets all the way until the last home game of the year.
Oh, dude,
when you're in the wild card.
I went Friday night and got amazing seats for really cheap.
Against the Reds?
Yeah, I guess that's why. Yeah. 5-4, I believe.
Yeah, they're right now. We can go. Let's talk a little baseball.
I wanted to say one more thing about hockey. I saw today on PTI that Seattle's probably going to get awarded a expansion team, and probably by 2020.
Yeah, Sam Barrett wrote about that on the website.
Oh, well.
Go check that out over there. By the way, we're presented by Hash Sports.
Yeah.
Welcome into the first segment of the evening. We do have a bunch of blogs. New t-shirts are up. Everything from the draft to the Colorado-based ones.
The draft shirts are great, especially for the Denver folks. Mile High Chubb.
There you go. So definitely go tune in or go whatever it is. Click on it. Read a little of the articles. Maybe you can catch up a little bit on your hockey stuff, Phil.
Yeah, I didn't do too much internet browsing today. I was mostly playing poker. Gary Bettman said that when they get the team, he's not going to change the format of the expansion draft.
Because how much cooler is it to have a team that comes in and isn't the Houston Texans that have a quarterback that just gets drilled every single time he takes a step back? Like, give him a footing to, like, you know, build a fan base off of. It's a lot more fun to cheer for a winner, and especially if it's year one, it'll help the enthusiasm as well.
Yeah, but putting together a phenomenal team and win the Stanley Cup in your first year.
Well, do you know how the expansion draft system works? It is kind of interesting. You poach a player from every team or whatnot, and then, I mean, this time it happened to work out that fucking Marc-Andre Fleury was one of those players they were able to, and they picked him.
But was
off
he of. Has he was he dominant the past few?
He
years?
He had won two Stanley Cups, and I guess he had actually.
I mean,
been,
on a team with superstars.
But I mean, he was still the goalie that was the superstar team. I mean, obviously Murray played a fair amount of the Stanley Cup last year for Marc-Andre Fleury. Maybe it was an injury. Maybe he got pulled one game. But he played a fair amount of the season and the postseason. So, I mean, he's a great piece to build around. So that's obviously key. That's not every expansion team is going to have that.
Right.
But it's still a pretty remarkable story. So
absolutely.
Cheers to them.
I'm all for it.
We've been anti-Ovechkin.
Yeah, I would be all for it regardless. But the fact that it's our boy,
I know.
Ovechkin.
There's something about me. All these little pieces, I keep seeing them on television. It makes me not necessarily feel bad for them, but it makes you want to, like, what would happen if he won it? Like, he could do some really cool stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he's a humorous guy. So,
I mean, I imagine since he's Russian, he probably chugs some vodka and parties. I'm just guessing. And I kind of base this off of Yamir Yager and how the man is still single, going out there and just plowing through sniz all the time. Like,
I guess
I just like to believe all the hockey players are like that.
Did he play in the NHL this season?
Yager? No, I think this was the first one. I think he went back to, like...
He says he's going and playing back at home or wherever.
Playing Moscow, you know, for one of those teams. I think the KPL or whatever it is over there is pretty impressive. Like, they have the money to pay them second tier. Yeah. It's like AAA almost, but at the same time, it can be, you know, professional to the point where you can be revered as a star over there, and they're probably like, oh, yeah, you're a god. But really, are you until you go win on the biggest stage? So who knows?
Well, he did win on the biggest stage.
No, I'm talking about, like, what Ovechkin can do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like...
I just thought we were Jager, talking about Jager. Yeah. I fucking love that dude. And I wish he could have kept on playing in the NHL. I just
he's like 24 years.
I just love seeing old dudes succeed, you know? Or
how do they do it in such a sport too? Like hockey seems like it takes a fucking toll on your body, and honestly, we don't know enough about it. But like, how do you do this for 48? I mean, like, he's probably been skating and playing since he's like 6 and killing grizzlies since he was 8. Like, how does he do that?
They have a lot of guys in the NHL. A lot of guys that play into their 40s in the NHL, it seems like.
It's like being a starting pitcher in baseball. Like, you can do that until you're 40s. Or Tom Brady.
Yeah, but starting pitchers in baseball don't get touched ever.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But, like, how do you stand? Yeah. Like, how does your body stand up for all that and all facets? I can't think of very many sports where you can excel at 45.
Right. No, good for him. What, didn't Gordie Howe play until he was like 50?
I don't even fucking know, man. My earliest knowledge of hockey dates back to the Mighty Ducks in like the 93-94 season. Yeah. And I'm talking about the kids in the movie. That's what I'm guessing. Yeah, not the actual fucking Paul Kariya teams. But yeah, so that was Talking Hockey. Of course it was going to end on a Mighty Ducks note, but that makes me go. So I want to talk about... I saw something today on the internet, and so this is going to cue my hypothetical for the week. Jamal Lewis had said that he's had some crazy thoughts, and he can feel like, whatever we want to call it, pre-CTE, because you can't have CTE until after you, I guess, pass. But let's call it, you know, whatever. He has some sort of dementia going on. He can feel like negative thoughts, things like that. He's like, what happens? What's coming? He's like, I'm preparing for a fight. And so it's very, like, sad but inspiring. And it made me wonder, that for this week's career change, would you rather be, and I did the research, Jamal Lewis, $16 million a year, career earnings, professional athlete, almost at the rushing record, or would you rather be a garbage man that makes middle of the thing income and just go through the everyday fight that everybody else would have to?
Man.
One of them you come in smelling like filth, and the other one you know that there's a problem on the back end.
I would rather be the garbage man. I mean, I have had some depressing moments in my life, and that shit fucking sucks, you know? And to have that go on in your life every day for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't care how much money you have. Like, you can go bang a bunch of whores, or, you know, buy a bunch of nice things, but if you're still unhappy, I don't know. I mean, happiness is pretty key for me in life.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a pretty fair.
Not that one. I'd be happy, but being
he was the fifth overall pick. Almost ran for the rushing record. He played ball at Tennessee, so you know he was hot shit running around the 2000 draft. That's like right after he was probably on the national championship team. In fact, he was.
None of that means anything to him, though. I mean,
now maybe, but at the same time, you get to live that whole life as this badass running back that, you know, was the big dick on campus.
He went to fucking jail for selling coke.
Are you sure?
Jamal Lewis?
Did he really?
Yeah.
I think a lot of coke dealers are still millionaires, but I didn't think that.
Yeah. He went to jail for something, and I believe it was selling cocaine.
Nah.
So, no. I would rather not. I don't want to be Jamal Lewis. I want to be a garbage man.
He went to 4 months in federal prison. Time out. I am now full on garbage man. But it does make me come up with a hypothetical. Let's say you had to spend 4 years in jail for $16 million. Would you do it?
4 years for $16 million.
Mind you, Jamal Lewis only did 4 months. But this is not like Martha Stewart jail.
Jamal Lewis in jail for 4 months?
No, you have to go for 4 years. 4 years.
Little fat white
Phil?
Nothing Phil.
Yeah, I have to be skinny little bag of bones, Kip. Like, I can't defend myself in a fight. I'm pretty fucked unless I get the shank first.
I'm not going to.
The garbage man route.
$16 million. I mean, that's awesome. That's a lot of money, and I could probably be.
Could get raped. You could get shanked, and you're definitely going to have to like. I mean, I don't even know what happens in prison. Prison, but I don't see it happening. Like,
I
good
honestly
things.
Don't think there's. I don't know what
could
my
you
number.
Do 4 years of solitary for $6 million. $16 million.
Yeah, then I come out and be a fucking psycho that doesn't know how to talk to anybody. No, I don't think jail's ever gonna be an option for
you. Would
me.
Never trade money for jail.
Nah.
All right, that's fair. I don't know. 4 years, I think.
Now,
would be
if
too
it's
long.
Like white collar prison, then
yeah like sure. Martin Shkreli or yeah. whatever his name is. Shkreli, whatever. Now that I would do as well. And if it was like 4 months for $16 million, I feel I could do 4 months like hiding. You know, like not ever leaving my cell, never. I could not shower for 14 months or for, you know, for 4 months.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid that, yeah, I couldn't take that. I couldn't take the 16 for four or the 16 over 4 years. That would be too hard.
Yeah.
I'm too big of a coward.
Me too.
I guess if that's what we're going to call it in this hypothetical.
Yeah. Like I'd, yeah.
All right. So we're living the garbage man life at $40,000 on average per year. And dealing with the everyday struggle instead of the post football struggle.
It's not even a struggle. I mean, yeah, you'll smell like shit, but how many hours do you work a day? Do they work 8 hours? No.
I'd imagine so.
Really?
I mean, why the fuck wouldn't they? Do you think the garbage
because
company's
like each,
we make a lot of
each,
money on
like,
put them
area
on?
Has a different route. So, you know.
I bet you work more than just like one zone a day, though.
Yeah, and you probably have to do some shit after you go. I don't know.
You got to go to the dump and all yeah. that. I don't know. I don't know the intricacies of that, but I just was trying to compare what I would consider like a Mike Rose tough jobs with the tough afterlife of a job like Jamal Lewis. So just figured that was my hypothetical for this week's career change.
Solid. My career change would be to be a garbage man. Not something I ever thought I would utter out my mouth, but, you know, that's what happens on this show.
Yeah, we say a lot of profound and stupid shit at the same time. But we had kind of touched a little baseball. We're watching a little baseball. So that we go out of that. We do have 100 days of football, though. We could talk a little football, but we'll do that a little closer on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's go into baseball. We're sitting here watching your Yankees, a couple games back of the Red Sox. But you've had an up-and-down weekend with the Astros here. I think you lost yesterday.
Yeah, I got beat pretty good.
Oh, but, fuck, today's Tuesday, and my days are all thrown off, sorry.
I'm not worried about the Yankees at all. I wish we could our pitching could be a little better, but Severino looks like...
Didi Gregorius can't find a fucking base hit to save his life.
Yeah, you know.
Kind of goes
in
this...
He'll come around.
Speaking of coming around, though, I'll give you a little relief here. Our hometown Rockies have our home team Rockies are just sneaking away with this division early on here. Look at this little lead we've created.
It's the it's just like the division is not performing up to their potential, and you know the Rockies are right about where we expected them to be. So you know they're doing their job and they're in first place.
Yep, and they're all well on pace to and by well I mean 3 games above 500 makes them. On pace to break, excuse me, I burped. They're going to break their team over under 482.5.
All right.
Which is a nice little hash sports bet we had this year.
But back to the Yankees, you know, yeah, we're a couple games back from the Red Sox, behind the Red Sox, but we were like 6 games back, you know, 2 months ago, and then erased that in a matter of 2 weeks.
That's true. And then you took 2 or 3 from the last time you saw him as well. So, I mean.
And, you know, okay, winning the division title is great. And I think it means more to the players than the fans, especially with this wild card. As long as we make the playoffs, you know, I don't give a shit.
True. All you need is a dog in the race in the end. And we're the same way. Like, you see the Dodgers, and I say we because my Texas Rangers are absolute garbage. But, like, the Rockies. They're just playing mediocre ball, you know. But the Dodgers are underperforming, but they've started to creep up. They're 8-2 in the last 10, but Arizona's still shit in the bed.
Kershaw's coming back soon.
I mean, he's going to be him, you know. They're going to do their thing. But what they did last year, which kind of separated them from the division, was they won like 29 games out of 30. Yeah. Remember going July through August? Like, they were an absolute buzzsaw. Alex Wood. I don't even remember who that old the other old fuck they had pitching was. Rich Hill, maybe?
Yeah.
Was that right? I couldn't remember if he was hit for them or the Cubs. But yeah, so we'll dive into baseball as the season goes along. But it's been a nice week. We kind of covered all of that. Yeah, but sticking with baseball, last time we left off, everybody, me and you were dueling over at your house, LSU and Mississippi State. You obviously got the better of us and ended up making a little run.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with our performance, but, you know, we're fucking LSU baseball. You know, we step it up in postseason. Now, we didn't step it up quite enough. And as much as it pains me to do this, I'd like to offer my congratulations to the Ole Miss Rebels. Y'all kicked their ass. SEC champions. So
SEC tournament champions.
Tournament champions. So congrats on that. And
here we go. Hopefully this week we start.
Hopefully we'll see y'all down the road in Omaha. But yeah, LSU's headed out to Corvallis.
That's a tough place to play in between a prestigious program like your Oregon State that's won multiple national championships and then y'all who are a powerhouse in the name of baseball but also travel pretty well. Do you expect an Oregonian do you think you need purple and gold out there?
I mean, surely there'll be some out there, but man, that's quite a trip. And we're certainly not going to have what we would.
Especially like when you said earlier, when you were like, most times they don't make teams travel. They're sending your ass to Oregon.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, obviously, but Oregon State's number one in the country.
Are they the number one overall? No, Florida is the number one. Yeah.
Oh, well, I was watching their game versus UCLA over the weekend. And
they were the one seed in the Pac-12 tournament.
But I don't think so because it said UCLA was 18.
Really? I mean, I guess I could look it up. Give me 2 seconds. I'll tell you. Oregon State is number one in D1 baseball, but Florida has the number one little number next to them, like, on the Twitter.
Hmm. Well.
So I guess, yeah, y'all are the...
Well, maybe there's probably several ones for the regionals.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but I thought they, like, paired, like, one... Like, Ole Miss was the number four. Oh, yeah, okay. So Ole Miss is number three in D1 baseball, so this is not... The top 16, or whatever, the 8 national seeds, so to speak. But I'm imagining there are 1 or 2 now, since y'all aren't going to Florida. Because that's the one I keep seeing, was one. But y'all do always seem to get hot at the right time. So maybe, I mean, I could easily see y'all being the team that upsets them.
And if not, you know, this was supposed to be not a great year for us, which... You know, but I'm sure we'll come back loaded next year.
To go into a regional, that's not a bad off season,
right? But for LSU fans, that's blasphemy.
Yeah, Paul Molinari is, I guess, a good coach, and I mean, y'all had our number this year. We're headed to Tallahassee as a 2 seed as well. I mean, we had a little bit better luck against like top 10 teams, but we're shit the bed against fucking Alabama Tech on a Tuesday night. So we didn't have the best standing all season.
I think it's got to be hard for these kids to get up for those Tuesday night games. So, you know, you often see the smaller team beating the big boys.
Yeah, on those just random, like, not a weekend series kind of things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we lose opening weekend. We lose our coach. We have all that whole thing. We're still alive. We kind of had to turn it on really late in the season. Kentucky kind of got the jab or kind of got fucked over. But they beat us 2-3, but we beat Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Florida, 9-10. And that was kind of what propelled us. All three of those teams are all in the top 5. And so...
So what, 10 SEC teams made the tournament?
Yeah, 10. And like 12 made the fucking SEC tournament. So it's like a pretty much exclusive tournament. Usually they pair us, though, like when y'all beat us last year in our supers was, like, they'll pair, we don't, there's only so many super regionals that, we'll host, only 18. So the likelihood is still possible, very possible, that two SEC teams would meet. But this year they kind of did a reverse, like with the ACC teams, Florida State and Clemson are paired together. So it's going to be a pretty interesting little week, and it provides drinking early in the morning because it's Friday baseball.
Yeah, looking forward to it, of course. But what else we got? Oh, Tigers playing this weekend?
Tigers playing in the Memorial. Yeah, so we'll wrap up with a nice Sunday Tiger. It's a big star-studded cast. All the big names are going to be there, and then there's four big pairings. Thursday, Friday, Tiger, Rosie, Duffner. I guess I could call him a big name. I mean, how do you not get enough? That's a great one. And then you got DJ.
I mean, who cares if it's a big name or not? He's an interesting dude, and he's a likable guy.
I know. So it makes you almost want to cheer. Like, I've been cheering for the Duff all season just because I want to see his hat. So you want to see him on the weekend so you can see his
how
hat.
How can he not have a hat sponsor?
I think that he signed with someone this week just for the weekly promotion, but I don't think he had one going into the season. And someone told me last week that that's the most profitable sponsor on a golfer's hat.
It is. So, I mean,
he just opted not to have one, I suppose, or maybe didn't like
so
the
he
offers.
Doesn't like money.
Well, I guess maybe they were trying to offer him too little for a year. Maybe somebody would. He's like, well,
too little. Something's better than nothing.
I imagine it's kind of like holding out. Like if you hold out, maybe he's getting paid the $50,000 he was going to get paid for a whole year. He's now getting per week because he's been posting top tens and he's playing with Tiger now.
And now these people know that he's willing to wear anything.
I mean, fucking Cavs shit last week. He wears anything. So among that
and
group,
then he'll wear like silly designs and like, you know, shit that they may try to push for kids or whatnot.
He really will. And it's exciting. Like, yeah. I know we both wear squirrely hats on a regular basis. Like, it's kind of like you want to see just a clip of his round just to see if he's wearing some fun, you know. I think he was wearing shit from the pro shop for the players, like, you know, like the trucker hat. So it's witty stuff. It's easy to get behind them.
Sure.
But that's not the only group that's going to be going out on Thursday and Friday. I think we got Spieth playing with Rory. DJ's playing with Bubba and Phil.
Two lefties. You don't see that too often in a pair.
And I may be slightly off, but maybe they're trying to put, the enticing names. Jack has a good sense of humor about it, it seems.
He gets to make the pairings?
No, but it's his tournament. He knows how it goes. The PGA Tour is like, you know, if you have an ability to have a say in this, you might as well make it so we have Thursday, Friday PGA Tour live pairings because it makes it more enticing for people to tune in because, I mean, I'm going to watch Ricky and JT Friday morning. I got shit else to watch. Got a good dual screen.
They'll probably have a great time, you know, and you'll probably be able to notice it on camera because
it's good for the game.
Yeah.
It's just classic.
And they're boys. And they'll probably be fucking around with each other.
See, I wonder how often they do that because you don't get that, like, candid conversation between them unless, you know, somebody does something stupid. You don't get to hear all the, like, the B-roll. I want to know exactly what, you know, I bet they're like, man, you fucking stroke that ball. You know, like, do they talk like we do? Like, you nutted that one.
Yeah.
I stuck that ball dick tight on the green. You know, like, are those things they say to each other or is it, I want to know. I'm curious.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go ahead and ask them. Hey, y'all come on the pod.
Oh, yeah. We know. Guys.
Open invitation.
After y'all go 1-2 in this tournament, you know, and we call it, come on the cast.
I mean, shit. We have been known to be pro JT, our last producer specifically. And then who's not a big Ricky guy? So, I mean, I just like to believe that they're out there kind of doing hootenanny, you know, not necessarily John Daly drinking, smoking cigarettes, but just having some fun with, you know.
Now, this tournament is like the warm-up for U.S. Open.
Yep. They'll probably have some pretty, you know, nice high grass, if I had to imagine, you know, in the rough. And then, but yeah, it's supposed to kind of be, just kind of give you the feel for the tournament, but you also have a very big field, so you know who you're competing with. You know, Brooks will be there as well and others, but it's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we have the U.S. Open is in 2 weeks.
That's always on Father's Day, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Where is it? Where is it at this year?
Shinnecock Hills in, I think it's, so I don't know the New York area. It's like up past Long Island, like down that little strip that comes off near the water. I don't know what those beaches are called, but it's up there. Hamptons, something.
Oh, yeah.
I have no clue. Nice.
Yankees score.
Yeah. But what's it called? So we want to thank y'all again for tuning in. That wraps up this week's of Loud and Obnoxious. Don't forget to go check us out on Twitter and Instagram. What is that again, Phil?
At LNO Podcast.
And don't forget to vote. Would you rather be a garbage man or a professional football athlete?
With CTE and suicidal thoughts.
That will obviously comes understood, like that CTE is inevitable. But anyway... and then don't forget to go follow us. You already said that.
Yeah. And then, I'll just say it again. Yeah. LNO Podcast.
And then don't forget to check us out on the website at, that's hashsports.com.
No, well, in the Hash Sports Twitter at the Hash Sports.
Oh, yeah. All the plugs. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. Yeah. I can't remember
them all. Supporter boys. And, you know, check out the other podcasts.
That's true. Our guys, Ball Marks over there on the East Coast, those guys are drumming it up with Level Headed Podcast. Solid stuff, witty banter, and they really know their shit. So go give them a listen. And then we always have the reliable gambling guru, Hook, Line, and Cover with our boy Scott Steenroller. So,
and then your newest one?
And then we have the Colorado Locals and our, the Transplants and the Native, where we talk all things Colorado. So if y'all ever get the itch, don't forget to tune in to the whole family of Hash Sports podcasts.
We're bringing it out.
And do you want to tease them a little bit of what's to come next week and in the 2 weeks to come?
Well, I'm going on a really, 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 really fucking cool vacation in a couple weeks. And I'm going to be traveling with some interesting characters. And I think y'all are going to really want to hear what I've got in store because it's going to be fucking awesome.
That's a great tease. I like how you said that. Yeah, so don't forget to tune in. And next week, hear a little bit more. Phil will give you a little bit of a nibble every week until he's gone.
And well, then, next week will be the last week before we go.
Oh, really? Early June?
I'm going June 8th.
Score. So, yeah, tune in the next 2 weeks to hear all the stories of Phil's traveling. But don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We'll see y'all next week. Cheers, everybody.
Who dat?